For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
Brujas, demonios, monstruos y fantasmas.
Witches, demons, monsters, and ghosts. It's time for our Halloween special.
This year, we're also especially excited because joining us today is the staff of one of our favorite online magazines, Remezcla.com, Remezcla.com, a Latin culture site which has been responsible for many hours of endless entertainment at work.
Matt Barbeau is Remezcla city editor, and Isabella Raygosa is the music editor. They join us from our New York bureau. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thanks for having
Thanks
us.
Thanks so much. Awesome. Excited to be here.
Together, we've assembled a list of some of our favorite songs about scary stuff. We've got Calle 13, Fabulosos Cadillacs, and much, much more.
Plus, we've been collecting traditional scary stories from across Latin America, and today we'll be visiting our favorites.
We've got a lot of material to cover, so let's get started. It's going to be one freaky show, so strap on your adult diapers and prepare to get scared.
Ay, qué bonito es volar a las dos de la mañana, a las dos de la mañana. Ay, qué bonito es volar, ay, mamá.
Volar y dejarse caer en los brazos de una dama. Ay, qué bonito es volar.
Me agarra la bruja, me lleva al cerrito, me sienta en sus piernas, me da de besito.
Ay, dígame, dígame, dígame usted, ¿cuántas criaturitas se ha chupado usted? Ninguna, 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 no sé, ando en pretensiones de chuparme a usted.
So this is the traditional Mexican folk song called La Bruja, or The Witch, and here it's being performed by Tlen Huicani, which in Nahuatl means the singers. And the lyrics are so pretty. It says, the witch grabs me, she takes me to her home, she turns me into a flower pot and a pumpkin, she takes me into the hills, sits me on her lap, and starts kissing me.
Huapangos usually are the very traditional form of playing in, especially like Day of the Dead. So it kind of resonates a lot with, you know, the festivals that happen in Veracruz and Oaxaca. Mm-hmm. So it kind of comes from that whole like aspect of the huapango style of playing and that harp that they have in that song. So it's just part of that identity there.
There's one thing we want to talk about is like differentiating between that whole idea of Halloween and the spooky thing and Dia de los Muertos, which is more of a celebration
right.
of the people who have gone and passed on. Some people that put altars in their home and it's a reminder of people, loved ones that have passed on.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same connotation as like eeriness yeah. or kind of fear and spooky. It's more of a celebrate, you know. Even like the devil is way more, I guess, attractive in Mexico than here, you know. He has like this swag. The Loteria devil.
It's a swag.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
This song also reminds me with the Bruja. There's this book called Bless Me Ultima. It's written by this mm-hmm. Chicano writer named Rudolfo Anaya. And it was mm-hmm. part of my Chicano literature class. And it's about this woman, Ultima, who is a curandera.
And curandera being like a, how would you say?
A healer, like a traditional healer.
Yeah, medicine woman.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she comes to live with this family, and it's about how the woman's influence on the family and what's going on in the drama of that family. But it reminds me of that because it's like some people consider Ultima a bruja, where she's not really a bruja. She, like I said, she's a curandera. But the lyrics, it reminded me of some of the stuff that I read years ago when I took that Chicano literature class. Speaking of La Bruja or The Witch, let's go to our next song. It's by Donnie Shivers. It's called Witch.
Witch.
Dani Shivers, she's an up-and-coming artist from Tijuana, and I actually ran into this song first because I follow a lot of the whole Ruido Son movement in Tijuana, and right. Los Macuanos, who are another the trio that are pioneering that genre, remixed that song, and the remix they did was called Afilan el Cuchillo.
Sharpen the knife.
Yeah, sharpen the knife. So I really got into it, and the album is not out yet, but it's her first single of her EP.
The instrumentation is interesting. It's very minimalist, which puts the spotlight on.
Very homemade.
A lot is made of her her vocals too, which are very sort of
very high
creepy,
pitched.
Yeah.
So guys, we've talked about witches, but how about now, let's go to hell. This is Calle 13.
How dare you.
Tres vueltas de carnero.
Flap, te fuiste por el agujero.
Todo lo grosero a bailar encima de lava volcánica.
Sube el volumen a la música satánica. Sube el volumen a la música satánica.
Vamos a quemarnos en el fuego con el diablo residente, el máximo exponente del pecado. Oye princesa, llegó tu príncipe, el grosero. Los bochincheros que se pongan un babero. Móntate aquí en mi velero y vamos a insultar al mundo entero. A mí no me sale lo de caballero. Y por ende, la gente no comprende que mi enchule por ti nunca se expira. Vente, vámonos de gira. Vámonos volando como a 30,000 pies de altura. Vamos a empollar 20 criaturas. Yo te prometo como 100 aventuras. Doña, contentura pa' tu cintura. Dóblate y enséñame la dentadura. Cuidado, el pantalón se le rompe la costura. Esos dos cachetes llenos de musculatura se están saliendo de la envoltura. Y me pone mal. Pa' meterle mano hay que tener un manual. Dile a tu mai que te suelte el cordón umbilical. Pa' revolcarnos por el cañaveral.
Directamente desde el infierno.
Abran paso que llegó el yerno. Tu papá está más cuadrado que un cuaderno. Y no comprende mi lenguaje moderno. Muévete que llegó el cafre de Trujillo. Mujer, tú me caes como dedo en el anillo. Vente y múdate pa' mi castillo. Y todos los días te cocino lo mío.
Tres vueltas de carnero.
Flap, te fuiste por el agujero.
Todos los groseros a bailar encima de lava volcánica.
So this is Calle 13, el tango del pecado, or the tango of sin. They have 10 Latin Grammy nominations.
Yep.
We should mention that. Record breaking. They don't like being pigeonholed as reggaeton because they really don't do reggaeton.
Right.
But this is a reggaeton song.
Their early stuff was very similar. Yeah, this is. Their early stuff had a lot of reggaeton influence.
This is a reggaeton song for listeners who ask, who are not familiar with the genre, and they're like, well, what is reggaeton? That's that beat that you're hearing. That's a boom.
It's called the dembow.
Rhythm.
And I love this song. Actually, it was Gustavo Santaolalla, who is like a really important Argentine producer.
Definitely.
He collaborated in this because you're hearing reggaeton mixed with tango, which is so unique. I mean, you really don't hear that.
And Calle 13, they're from Puerto Rico, but they have a very close relationship with the South American continent, particularly Argentina and Buenos Aires. They play there a lot.
And recently, like, they've been picking up a lot of that whole Peruvian charango instruments, like the Andean sort of stuff.
And this song, The Tango of Sin, so at the time that they wrote this, the lead singer in the duo, Residente, was dating Denise Quiñones, the former Miss Universe. She got a letter from someone saying that she was going to burn in hell for dating him and, you know, embarrassing Puerto Rico like that.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And so the song is written in response to that. And I gotta say, this is like one of my favorite music videos ever. I mean, it's like they're preparing for their wedding, and he, you know, he calls himself like, I'm Mr. Universe. And it's featuring Tego Calderon as the best man. You know, I think
he's sort of creeping around, and he's avoiding, like, he's with her in her bedroom, and then everybody comes in to help her prepare, and he has to sneak out. It's like really interesting.
It's great. It ends with the mother saying, "My poor daughter, they're going to burn in hell together."
Si amarte es un pecado,
se van a quemar juntos en el infierno.
Well, let's keep it in Puerto Rico again.
Let's.
This is the Puerto Rican punk band Dávila 666. This is the song Diablo, or Devil.
These guys have Halloween built into their name.
Right.
Dávila 666.
So I guess we should explain that the title of this song is Diablo, which means devil, but Diablo is also like an expression that's very common in the Caribbean, that it kind of means like damn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and Diablo. Especially the way it's titled with all these exclamation marks.
Like, right. Diablo. Right, so like if you smash your finger like against
a hammer,
you're like, Diablo. Mm-hmm. Damn. What they're singing about is that this girl that he was in love with, and they're so like Calle 13, they have this sense of humor, like they're mm-hmm. like, you know, you have the mm-hmm. the face of an angel and an ass like I've never seen before.
Yeah.
and so he's really in love with this girl, and he finds her with another guy, and it's his cousin.
Nice.
And he's like, Diablo.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm screwed now with this one.
Yeah. It's one of the tamer expressions.
Right. I just saw them live actually recently. Even just seeing them, the way they interact, they're like super playful and just like funny. They make fun of each other, and you know, they're like those boys in high school that you like crush, and they're just like always messing around with you, you know?
Yeah, I'm dying to ask him when we get him on the show why the 666.
Why not?
I guess it's a punk thing.
Punk.
Totally, man.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, guys, in addition to music from Puerto Rico, you guys brought along a ghost story, a folktale, something scary from Puerto Rico.
We did indeed. We're going to be talking a little bit about El Chupacabra, or some people call it El Chupacabras.
The goat sucker.
Because he drains the blood, right?
That's what he does.
Yeah. Mutilates.
It's kind of like
goats.
a vampire. Kind of a Latin American Bigfoot, in that some people say they've seen him, other people say they've seen evidence, and a lot of people just don't believe in him at all.
And they're supposed to have like all kinds of different demonic, like scary features, big teeth.
Yeah,
I mean, like everybody, I guess depending on what country you go to.
And he looks like an alien too. Like,
yeah.
The big old eyes.
The first sighting said that he looked sort of like an alien. So you get, you know, big eyes, round head.
Sometimes he looks like
claws
a dog.
Covered in. Yeah, that became mm-hmm. more common when he was started to be seen more in Mexico and mainland, sort of southwestern United States, because a lot of sightings turned out to just be mangy coyotes, so they didn't have hair.
I know a guy in Fresno who saw him, man.
No, serious. Come on. Is this one of your buddies?
There's a guy said he saw him. I'm just saying.
Under what circumstances?
He was out in the country driving around. and he happened to, I don't want to get into it, it's too scary, but I know a guy in Fresno. No, I know a guy in Fresno who saw it.
Like at a gas station or what?
He was out in the country. It's true.
Bottom line is he's one ugly dude.
Right.
He's one not your friend.
Either way.
Not my friend.
Maybe not your friend.
Yeah, a lot of these legends go back to like pre-Hispanic days and like pre-colonial days.
There's explanations for a lot of it, and a lot of the stories that you see are, you know, oh, there were photos, but we don't have them now. Or oh, yeah,
it's
we
always
killed
a friend of a friend who wants to get gas.
I saw a guy. I know a guy.
Okay, let's move on because this is gonna get violent. Chupacabra conversation.
Yeah.
You guys brought one more song about the devil, El Diablo,
El Diablo,
by Mexican band Fobia.
Okay, here we go.
Felix hates this song.
Eerie. The only reason I like that song is that there's a little piece of the cantina music from Star Wars in there, and I'm a nerd. So.
You totally make that connection, yeah.
I heard, it's in there. Anyway.
The lyrics are saying, mujer, mujer, the devil is at your doorstep. Why don't you play dead? Why don't you do a can-can dance for me? Which, Isabella, it goes to show, like, guys will do anything for you.
Yeah, the devil's trying to seduce you, so don't listen to anyone who's, like, right at your doorstep with a, you know, un clavel.
Yeah. So anyway, bottom line, you know, if a dude says, the devil's at your doorstep, so you should really take your clothing off, probably date is over.
You should probably play dead. You're like,
yeah,
yo.
Just you're out. You're out.
And Felix, you actually came in touch with this band a long time ago, right?
In the 90s, I used to run a mail order, pre-internet mail order service, importing CDs and cassettes from Mexico. Fobia was one of the bands we did, and it was hugely popular. I listened to every CD we sold. That 90s stuff, even then, kind of skeeved me out a little bit, but they were very popular.
Well, I brought another song about devils from Argentina. This is Los Fabulosos Cadillacs, or Cadillacs. This is Calaveras y Diablitos, Little Skulls and Little Devils.
Thank you. vos vas a creer en mí. Universo de tierra y agua, me alejan de vos. Las tumbas son para los muertos, las flores para sentirse bien, la vida es para gozarla, la vida es para vivirla mejor.
Classic.
It's a great
song. I love this song.
They're excellent what they do.
This is their sound. This is totally their ska sound.
They completely like influenced this whole generation of ska, even in, well, Mexico, you know, Panteón Rococo, and I think even Maldita, and so many great bands today.
That's an era when I first started listening to music, so it's like it takes me back right to discovering all these great bands and the way they reimagined them just for themselves and their own patria, their own country, you know, their own culture. It's great.
La vida es para vivirla mejor.
No Halloween is complete without ghosts. So let's go back to Mexico. Let's go back to Tijuana with Tijuana No and their song El Fantasma.
The band that spawned artists like Julieta Venegas and Ceci Bastida. You guys brought the song. Tell
yeah.
us more about it.
Both Julieta and Ceci were like the one of the original members of the band when it first formed, you know, and I guess I have like a more of a personal sort of like relationship with that because I'm from Tijuana, my family is.
Huh.
And I actually met Luis Guareña, like one of the leaders, vocalist and keyboardist of the band. He was like super, super punk, you know, just always just getting into trouble, living like in his 40s. And we'd go to like his house near like Avenida Revolución, where they have all these like the city or the street of sin or, you know.
That's the main street in Tijuana.
Yeah. I mean, that's even like a derivative even of like, you know, the whole ska that we were talking about. And then with influencing that whole border culture with like punk, because they really got a lot from like the Dead Kennedys from like the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
So they use a lot of that mix, you know, that whole, you know, punk and that still Latin American sound.
They were another band that was ahead of their time because they're
yeah.
not performing anymore. They sort of went ways. And
right. Luis right. passed away in 2004, I believe. The band still plays, but it's under a different name now. It's under Los Tijuanos, I believe.
Huh,
right.
Interesting.
With some of the band members.
Oh,
but
yeah.
they were a huge band. There were like 7 of them.
Escapar! Escapar!
We need some more scary stories in this show. Are you guys ready?
No, I don't want to.
Very
this
ready.
This is the part of the show I don't like, but go ahead.
Felix is un cobarde. He gets
Felix.
Scared really easily. You'd
have
no idea.
It's okay, Felix.
I'm going to think happy thoughts.
One of the most popular legends in Argentina and in Uruguay is La Luz Mala. It's the evil light. When I was a kid, I grew up in Buenos Aires. I think I left the city twice in my life. I'm like a city rat, right? Mm. And those two times my parents were like, I think she should see what a tree looks like. So so the first time we tried to go to Brazil and the plane had a malfunction and we had to do an emergency landing and head back. So it didn't work out that well. Second time they're like, let's go somewhere by car. Somewhere in that time, I was like probably like 8 or 9, and I heard the story of La Luz Mala, which it's supposed to be a brilliant light in the middle of the night, and it kind of hovers over the ground. It's supposed to be a soul in pain, a soul that has not received a proper burial.
Limbo,
that's right. And some versions say that when you see it, you have to say a prayer and bite the sheath of a knife, which wasn't very useful to me at 8 years of age because I don't really carry a knife with me.
It's very specific.
Yeah, and last resort is you attack it with a knife. Can't shoot at it, Felix, so keep the machine gun at home. But if it's a red light, it's the devil. And the version I heard is that you'll see this light coming at you and you'll be in your car and your car will just stop and you can't do anything about it. And let me tell you about this trip, the rest of this trip, after I heard about La Luz Mala. Basically, it would be like 6 o'clock in the afternoon and I'd be like, I'm ready for bed. And I'd just like be under the covers. I was
cuddling
so
with your knife sheath.
With my knife sheath. Yeah. Right, right. I was so scared.
Okay, I got one.
Okay.
La Llorona.
Oh.
Okay. So La Llorona is...
Which means the crier.
The crier, the crying woman.
Mm.
Isabella, I'm sure you were told about this when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I actually had heard stories as a kid, too, of just people witnessing La Llorona outside their window, just weeping away. A
couple different versions. One version is this woman, she fell in love with a guy, they had children, and then the guy left her. And then she drowned her kids in the river because she was so sad. She was so despondent. And then once she realized what she did, then she's crying for her children. And she wanders riverbanks crying and trying to find her children again. So the whole idea is like you hear her before you actually know that she's there. All over the Southwest in Mexico, you know, parents use this. Looking back on it now, like they use it to keep the kids in line. Don't go outside because La Llorona is going to... It was either La Llorona
yeah, yeah.
or El Cucuy.
Or La Mano Peluda.
Ooh.
The hairy hairy hands. Yeah. I think it's even more threatening if you're a kid and you hear your mom tell you a story about, like, you know, this mother, she got really sick of her kids, so she drowned them in a lake. So, you know, you might want to behave. That's pretty scary.
That's pretty psycho. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard that, I mean, the girl that became La Llorona, she's supposed to be the most beautiful in her village and very haughty and very, you know, she wanted to find this guy, gave her all these promises. So it's also used as a cautionary tale to young girls to not be too proud and to not believe everything that, you know, men tell them.
There's so many different versions. There's also a very traditional song about La Llorona. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite versions is by the great Chavela Vargas.
Oh, let's hear that.
That's an awesome song.
Todos me dicen el negro llorona negro, pero cariñoso. Todos me dicen el negro llorona negro, pero cariñoso. Yo soy como el chile verde llorona, picante pero sabroso. Yo soy como el chile verde llorona, picante pero sabroso.
God, that's such a beautiful song.
I love this version because of the pain, the palpable pain
in her voice. Yeah.
Haunting.
And that one also came out in the Frida soundtrack, I believe.
They use a clip of it in a bar scene. She's singing in a cantina. It's very short. Mm-hmm. But when you buy the DVD, one of the extras, it's the entire performance.
Oh, wow.
It's chilling. Chavela Vargas is a very well-known Mexican singer. She's very controversial. She was very openly gay in the 40s and the 50s. She, in fact, did have an affair with Frida Kahlo. It has double meaning in that she's singing about La Llorona, but she's also singing about a love to Frida. So in the movie, she's singing in the cantina, and Selma Hayek, the actress who's playing Frida, is in the scene with her. So she's singing to Frida from the ages.
Wow.
You know, it's like transcending generation and time.
Si ya te he dado la vida, llorona, ¿qué más quieres? ¿Quieres más?
So who we have next is Guarco, or Guarco. He's Uruguayan and based in Brooklyn, and the song is called Monster.
Disfrazando el presente, exagerando antecedentes. Este bicho arde tan caliente por las calles de mi mente. No sé cuándo se irá este monstruo tan feroz. Espero que se vaya antes que nos mate a los dos. Como me quisiera olvidar, pero no me olvido nunca más.
This is the sweetest, scary song I've ever
heard. Isn't it? It's, yeah.
we dig Guarco in the office.
Yeah, we just learned about him. He's a solo artist. He recently just got his debut out, Fiebre, a few months ago. So he's like an up-and-coming artist, and we're really excited about him. And his lyrics are always really sweet, and he gets a lot of lyrics also from books like Paulo Coelho, and some of them are pretty like revolutionary. This one's very like sweet, and what's that monster in my head that's kind of you know.
I like how he breaks into the Brazilian
right, bossa nova.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole different thing, man.
Very charming.
Our next song, we all unanimously agreed when we were making this list that we had to include this song. This is Lobo Hombre en París by La Unión, the Halloween classic. It's a werewolf in Paris.
Okay, now I'm really scared.
We picked this song because it's sort of a staple of our playlists at the Remezcla office. It's sort of a goofy song. I mean, there's werewolf howling, you know, as part of it.
It's like the ironic, you know, part of the whole 80s videos where things are cheesy, but then they were kind of cool.
Like cheesy on purpose, you know? It's like there's a song called Werewolf in London or something
right.
like that.
Right.
And
Warren Zevon.
You know, Thriller is sort of the same way. There's just sort of fascination with horror movies, and so the song itself isn't scary, but it is an homage to horror films and to cheesy.
And even like the music video, it's like so theatrical.
Yeah, you know, it's black and white, shot like one of like a Universal horror film,
or like the 1920s. You know, mm-hmm. during the whole like flapper kind of mm-hmm. age and the whole like Katrin man.
So as I was listening to the song, and since we all agreed that this song would be on the list, I was wondering if this is a song that's the Spanish language equivalent to Thriller, and that it's just so popular.
Well, I think this is it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like international, just one of the rock en tu idioma, you right. know, songs that has a signature in that whole genre.
It's, you know, gets stuck in your head. It's that, you know, in the same way that
everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it.
Everybody thinks about it this time of year. I'd like to choreograph a dance to this song. to perform, do a video.
But it's actually like the way it starts, it's even kind of sexy, you know? The whole bass, that doon-t-doon-t-doon-t-doon-t-doon-t-doon.
Is that just a Latin thing? It's the sex and horror.
Dude, I was thinking about this because like how many of these songs are like supposed to be scary, but then you're, you know, you're like, ooh, tell me again.
Because in Latin America, what I guess the concept of just like horror is not like the horror that we see here in America, for example. It has a different feel.
So we did sexy horror before Twilight.
We invented sexy horror.
Well, you know, this whole scary story thing, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, friends would tell me stories or you'd go see a horror movie, but I remember like the heart-stopping stories were the ones my grandmother told. And she would always preface it, and my dad would always preface it with, you know, because they were migrant workers and they grew up traveling around the country and always in rural locations. So for some reason, this stuff that happened out in the country, the stories were so scary that I don't even want to remember them now. You know what I mean?
It was just no, like, se puede ser tan cobarde.
A repressed memory.
But it was always like it had to be out in the country, out where nobody could see. Like nothing ever happened in the city, but I guess that's where they were growing up. I can't even talk about it now. Let's change the subject.
Well, wait, because I do. There is one more scary story, and it's rural.
Oh,
Carl, are you guys ready?
We're ready.
Okay. So this one is from a listener. This is from David Angel Lindes, and he says, El sombrerón, or the big hat man, is a story I grew up. Who's laughing?
I'm ready for it to be scary. Okay.
El sombrerón, or the big hat man, is a story I grew up on in Guatemala, and I only remember it vaguely, but he does say it really scared him. So El Sombrerón is he's a small man who wears a charming and enormous hat, and he dresses in black with a beautiful belt, and he really sweet talks women and serenades them and braids their hair. I mean, I know, so far this is a dude you meet at a club.
Like, you're like, I remember one of the guys.
Hey, stop braiding my hair.
Sounds familiar.
But he loves to braid things. He's like the Vidal Sassoon of goblins.
Got it.
He loves to braid horses and dogs' hairs and ladies' hairs. So when he loves a girl, he follows her, he braids her hair, and he serenades her. And then there's so many different virgins. Sorry.
Not after they meet the sombrero.
Sorry.
Freudian slip.
There's so many different versions. I just, you know, sometimes I try and not sound so Argentine and it backfires. There's so many different versions, and in one of them he puts soil on her plate when she's eating, and so she can't eat and she can't sleep, and eventually she dies. In another version I've read, he has like a train of women who follow him until like they're like spirits. In any case, that's the big hat man.
Okay, enough about his sombrerón, because I'm not convinced he's scary.
This didn't scare you at
no,
all?
No, that one didn't.
He's just some dude who's trying to, you know, get some.
Maybe he's La Muerte, like the song we're going to play last. We started the show with a classic. We're going to end with another classic. This is El Gran Combo, the salsa band from Puerto Rico. They're an institution there. They have a song called Yo Soy La Muerte.
I am death. I just love how like some of these salsa songs, some of them are like about really like dire and depressing topics, but they're so upbeat and
right.
Like I'm in jail for the rest of my life.
Sometimes when my friends ask me to translate lyrics, they regret it.
I remember being super into, you know, Maldita Vecindad, and they were talking about El Mojado, how he died crossing the border, but there was like this groovy like rock song that you want to dance to, or you know, even Tijuana No also talks about like all these just like crazy topics about narcos killing each other, but then it's like you want to dance to it with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or something.
Dancing Mambo doesn't like scare Mambo. Me.
Well, I've seen you dance Mambo and it scares me.
Oh, nice. Well, okay, with that, we'll end our show for this week. We want to remind our listeners that you can find all the songs we played on this week's show on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
And as always, let's keep the conversation going online. Tell us what your favorite scary song is and your scary story.
Special thanks to our guests, Matt Barbeau and Isabella Raigosa from the wonderful online magazine, remezcla.com. If you haven't checked it out, please give it a look.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you for
having us.
And we also want to thank our producers, Mike Katzeff, Jessica Goldstein, and our engineer, Chuck Thompson.
I'm Jasmine Garz.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
This has been a very spooky Alt Latino.
What's that?